Scripture today is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, and also 15 to 17. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head of the Christ, who is the head into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when with each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles, do in the futility of their minds. Today, we are glad to have Reverend Loke to share God's word. Sermon title: We Are Family, Part 3. Reverend Loke.
Good afternoon, my brothers and sisters in Christ, on site and online as well. And this is the third installment of the topic, Church is Family. Let's commit our time to God before we continue. Father, once again, we are thankful for this family, this spiritual family that we belong to. God, we know we are here not by coincidence, and really, certainly, you have a purpose for us as your children, as members of this body of Christ. And God, once again, we ask that you speak clearly to all of us here, and let your Spirit, Lord, convict our hearts with regards to the truth that we receive from you, that is given in your word. So help us to focus, and Lord, and that we would empower us, that we will be both hearers and doers of the word. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I brought up this point in my first sermon on this theme, Church is Family. Right? We don't need to and we can't make the church a family. We are called to embrace the church as family. And I pose the question, what would render us to treat the church as family? Right? I highlighted two things in answer to this question. First is to see yourself as a family member and not just a worship attendee. Right? Second, to consider yourself as a contributor and not a consumer. It is one thing to know these things, and really quite another to believe it, which is why I would like to work on by adding a third point, right? Really in hope that it would help us love the church as Christ does, right? And that we can really journey together as one to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what you felt or what came to your mind when you heard me say, church is family. To some, it is not delightful news. The main reason, I believe, is twofold. First, the church has failed me. The church family has failed me. It did not turn out as I expected. I tried it, but it was unpleasant and left me with a bad aftertaste. But I still love Jesus though. But the church family, no, not really, thank you. Two, poor relationships and bad experiences in their biological family and the negative sentiments are projected onto the church family. For them, The word family is equated with physical, mental, and emotional pain. This idea is certainly not appealing. Church is family. There is fear and anxiety about embracing the church as family, and its members are kept at arm's length. However, a dysfunctional or broken biological family can also cause one to have high expectations of the church family. He or she hopes the church family can make up for what is lacking at home. Maybe love and affection, attention, support, or guidance. Some people swear allegiance to religious cults and street gangs despite the harm, because they find meaning and fulfillment in these communities. Truth and sensible reasons are often ignored by such people who are enjoying, you know, the presence of these people who love them. Dear congregation, there are three facts we need to know about the church family. One, the church family is not equivalent to God. Right? Marva Dawn's book on the communal life of God's people points out the flaw in looking to the church for satisfaction that only God Himself can give. Right? She points out the flaw in looking to the church for satisfaction that only God Himself can give, she writes. If we try to get rid of our longings by belonging to the community, the longings will continue to grow. If we want the church to erase our loneliness, it will become a deeper ache. On the other hand, when we realize that God is the source of all satisfaction, then our attitudes can change to rejoicing in the moments, note, not all the time, and the persons, note, not every member, the attitudes can change to rejoicing in the moments that He gives, that God gives to bring us comfort and care. The italics are mine. Now, if you look at it, it sounds odd, but it is true. We can only truly benefit from the community of faith in its healthiest expressions when we don't expect something from the church that only God alone can give. In other words, don't seek the church to erase, for example, your loneliness. God is the source of all satisfaction. If someone can satisfy our loneliness, apart from God, that person stands above God. Certainly, God uses His people as His channel of blessing. But the reality is that it won't be everyone in the church family, right? He will not use every single one. And it won't happen each time when you are weighed down, right? Ultimately, our hope and dependence are on the perfect God, not on imperfect people. And this brings me to the second fact. Fact number two, the church family will fall short because it is imperfect. The church is imperfect despite comprising of people who know that they are dearly loved by God and are called to love one another and their neighbor. Now, one thing I will tell a newcomer who joins our church is, the church is imperfect. The people here have flaws and weaknesses. And your toes may be stepped on sometimes. I say this to dispel the notion that there are no downside or ugly side to the church family, and all the church members are wonderful people. I don't want the person to see the church family only in the positive light, right? Have only good things up in the head about the church and not being aware or uninformed of the negative. Believers in Christ are basically sinners saved by grace and are undergoing a process of transformation to be like their Savior and Lord Jesus. Now, not everyone is at the same spot on the spiritual maturity spectrum. This is because not everyone grows at the same rate, and some may be even standing outside of that spectrum. Now, this is one aspect of diversity within the church family, which we must acknowledge and accept. Which means our life in the church family will not be pleasant and delightful all the time. We will experience disappointment over needs not met, longings like friendship not fulfilled, or desires like support and encouragement not satisfied. There will be times when we feel unhappy or angry over unchrist-like behavior of some and disobedience to God's commandments by others. Now, you might think that it is really not necessary, right, for me to point out that the church family is imperfect. You know, it's understood and expected. The problem is, and this is a reality, right? The problem is that we know it only in our heads, but not in our hearts. It is only when we are on the receiving end of the imperfection of people, right? Then we realize, oh, this is a reality, right? And when we experience that, right, when people step on our toes, we get crushed. Depends on how hard it is, you know. We feel disturbed, dismayed, depressed, disillusioned, or even disgusted. I've seen people leave church with bitterness or stop serving or fellowshipping altogether after being hurt, after being crushed. But, you know, aren't members of the church family supposed to love one another like Jesus loves? Isn't the church family a place where Christians live in harmony with each other? Yes, we know what we ought to do, but we don't get it right every single time because all of us are still work in progress. We are not the finished product. Church hurts. It's somewhat an oxymoron. But it is true. We must honestly admit this and not expect, you know, that you won't get hurt or that the church family is always, you know, is always going to function like a healthy, thriving, idealistic family without any problems, conflicts, or shortcomings. We just need to read the epistles, right? To discover this, right? The letters that Paul Peter, James, they wrote to discover, you know, the churches then, they have a lot of issues. Right. Fact number three, the church family, besides being imperfect, is also messy. You know, messiness often turns us off, isn't it? We generally like to have things in, you know, properly set up, arranged, neat and tidy, and organized, right? Be it our workplace, home, and also, you know, in church as well, even more so in church. We consider this necessary as it would be, you know, easier to manage, navigate, you know, and get things done more pleasant, more comfortable, and yeah. Apart from having a difference in spiritual maturity, there are also differences in upbringing, right? As background, personality, character, and experiences, right? All of us seated here, right? Now, imagine what would happen when we do life together in church. We are not homogeneous. And I also highlighted earlier that church family members are not fully saints yet. We are messy creatures because of sin. We feel disappointment and fear and heartbreak and loneliness. We wrestle with selfishness, greed, lust, and pride. And following Jesus doesn't mean we will not wrestle with all these things. We are certainly called to pursue holiness. We are not to intentionally create a mess when there is none. Jesus, our Lord, simply knows that we are human, that as long as we live on this side of heaven, we will never be totally free of the effects of the fall. We will always keep needing the gospel, and He calls us to acknowledge that need, to acknowledge our mess, both to ourselves and to one another. And this brings me to the final point. The church family is centered on Christ, where the gospel is lived out. We read earlier, right, the words of Jesus in Luke 5, that He came not for the righteous, but for sinners. When Jesus walked the earth and saw messed up people, He didn't push them away, right? But reached out to them. He associated with sinners and even dined with them. Jesus entered our sin-cursed world and our messed up lives and started to bring about a beautiful transformation in the lives of those who confess faith in Him as Lord and Savior. Yes, the church family is not divine. It is imperfect and members' lives are messy. But it is not a dysfunctional or dead. It is not completely dysfunctional. It is not dead. The church family belongs to the living and almighty God. The members are made alive by the gospel and are empowered and called to do a glorious work. Just like the children's message we heard just now, right? We are made clean on the inside. Though on the outside, sometimes it's not completely clean. But we are clean on the inside. Let's look at the scripture passage we read just now. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. I want to zero on five things in this passage. Not profound, pretty straightforward. No need really to elaborate. One, in the church family, some members are to be equippers to serve the rest, to equip them for service, right? He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Two, those being equipped are to build up the church. Three, members are to speak to one another God's truth in the spirit of love. Four, all members of the body of Christ lovingly serve and speak to each other with one goal in mind. There's a goal. We do that because there is a focus given to us. That is to attain a harmonious state of Christian unity, grow in spiritual maturity, and to become Christ-like. It's all found here. Next, okay. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love, right? The church family is healthy, growing, and loving. Never stagnant and aimless. The church of Jesus Christ, the church family, the body of Christ, is healthy, growing, and loving. There are simply no inactive members. Everyone is working toward the God-given goal. Right, even though we are at different spiritual maturity levels, that is to be expected. Right? Some are more mature, some are not so mature. But we work together to build each other up. Right? Build up the church, to glorify God. We should not be standing outside of the spiritual maturity spectrum. Okay? Five. Church family members should no longer behave like the unregenerated. Right? So if you have been regenerated, right? The Spirit of God lives in you, is transforming you, you will be involved. You will not be like the unregenerated. You will not be standing outside of the spiritual maturity spectrum. Right? We are not to behave like the unregenerated. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, right? In ignorance and with hardened hearts. We were once like that, but no longer, isn't it? Right? So, it doesn't make sense if we behave like the old self and not the new self. Right? So, dear members of the church family, our God is in the business of taking the imperfection and messy and working through it for His glory. He saved and accepted us as we were, but He did not intend to leave us in that broken, dysfunctional, and messed up condition. God puts us into the church family, His household, not so that we can hurt or tear each other apart. Rather, we are to carry each other's burdens. We read that just now in Galatians 6:2. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24. Encourage and build each other up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Pray for one another, James 5:16. Teach and admonish each other. There are more. I only mentioned five here. So there are instructions given, right? We cannot claim ignorance, right? As God's children, as members of His household, you know, not knowing what we are to do here, you know. The goal is to be a loving, healthy, and growing family, not a perfect family. As the redeemed, let us then work to build each other up. God expects us to live out the gospel as His children and disciples of Jesus Christ. So let us die to self and honor God as we walk this journey of faith together, embracing the fact that the church family is not divine, not perfect, and is messy. In conclusion, sin has rendered humanity fallen, right? We see and experience the effects of sin. We see and experience the effects of sin personally and collectively, right? It has impacted every arena of society and every institution. None of us are perfect. There is no perfect biological family and no perfect church family. God is in the business of redemption. Christ came to save and renew and to empower us to make a difference in our home and church family. So let us stand united in Christ with one heart, mind, and spirit as we bear testimony and proclaim the gospel to the fallen and watching world. Let's say amen to that.